Chair to hear. First matter up is House and Senate Joint Resolution Number 18. Go right ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Renee Howell. I'm Committee A to Senator Lyda Green. And I'm here to support Senate Joint Resolution 18, a resolution proposing amendments to the Constitution of the Alaska to guarantee the permanent fund dividend, to provide for inflation proofing, and to require a vote of the people before spending undistributed income from the earnings reserve of the permanent fund and relating to the permanent fund. Under the Constitution, Article 9, Section 15, all net income from the permanent fund is deposited into the general fund and available for appropriation. However, the legislature, by statute, has created an earnings reserve account to hold this net income from which dividends and inflation proofing are paid. Whatever funds are left over in the earnings reserve after inflation proofing and paying dividends are called the undistributed income. The legislature, by a simple majority vote, with the support of the governor, could cap, reduce, or eliminate dividends, reduce or eliminate inflation proofing, and spend every penny permanent fund earnings on government. SJR 18 will take the existing formulas for dividends and inflation proofing and require that people, not just the legislature, approve any changes. If adopted, SJR 18 will permanently protect dividends, guarantee inflation proofing, and require voter approval for spending undistributed income from the permanent fund earnings reserve. And I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Very much. Any questions? Senator Parnell.
Will we have a chance to ask questions after we hear more public comment?
Oh, sure.
Okay. Thank you. I'll wait.
Okay. Mr. William Turback in Anchorage, please.
Sorry.
I had a note that Mr. William Turback in Anchorage was on the SJR 18.
You're right on.
I'm on. Okay, go right ahead.
Well, I thought I was going to be able to visit with and see and observe.
Okay. Well, that's fine, too. I just wanted to make sure whether or not you wanted to testify.
I do. Absolutely.
Well, then go right ahead.
Well, I'd rather do it downstairs because I have a presentation, a piece of paper to give you. My voice isn't that good.
Well, if you just hand that piece of paper to the lady there at the teleconference, she'll fax it to us immediately.
Then you do not want to read this or talk to
us. I want to observe, is what I said.
Okay. Thank you. I will be faxing this to you right now.
Okay, thank you very much. If you had any comments, Mr. Turback, I wanted you to be able to make them, was all.
I want to observe. It says I can observe.
Yeah, you can. You certainly can. You don't have to testify, and I want to thank you for turning out.
Wait a minute. I want to testify by my format I gave here, but I want to observe your operation. How can I do it from up here? It said it was going to be in this room. Now, where the heck are you guys?
We are in a room in the Capitol building in Juneau, Alaska. That's where we are.
Oh, well, it sure didn't say that in the piece of paper. God. Okay, so I'm going to sit here and listen, and she'll fax you the form.
Okay, well, Mr. Turback, if you want to jump in at any time, you let me know.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
Next witness, please, whoever's on the sign-up sheet. Right here.
Mr. Chairman, Jim Kelly, Director of Communications for the Permanent Fund Corporation. Just a note on the analysis that we included with the fiscal note, a couple of cautionary notes. As you're familiar from the testimony we've given in the past on this as relates to the tax question, our attorney has advised that adoption of the proposed amendments might weaken the state's longstanding position that the income of the fund is not subject to federal taxation. We are currently still looking into that on a legal basis. The second question or observation relates to the letter that was enclosed from Michael O'Leary of Callan Associates. that talks about the fact that in our history, we've been able to experience the good volatility of the stock market, but we've not experienced the bad volatility, and at some point we will. And at some point in time, we may very well decide that the current distribution, or you may very well decide, because it's obviously it's not our job to decide that, but you may decide, given different market conditions, that the distribution policy that you have in place right now in statute may not turn out to be the best way to go. Just watching our peers in the institutional investment world, we've noticed that some of the other public funds, particularly, for example, in the most recent past, New Mexico, have moved to a different approach, an endowment approach, payout rule type approach, which is something that's been talked about for years up here, going back to the Commission on the Future of the Permanent Fund, and even beyond that, when Commissioner of Revenue was Hugh Malone. You know, we're not advocating that there be a change, but we do point out that if you put it into the Constitution, it makes it that much tougher to change. And we've been blessed over the last 20 years with some terrific market conditions, and it may be different in the future.
Senator Parnell.
Along those lines, at page 2, the inflation proofing calculation would be put in the Constitution as well. And is it your, I mean, my understanding is that the CPI currently overstates inflation already. I mean, by at least 1%. Is that your understanding as well? And if it overstates it, it could understate it as well. I mean,
right.
It goes both ways. So I'm not.
It does. And ours lags, too, by a year. Like the inflation number that we're going to apply to the principal on June 30th is going to be the change in the calendar year average from the two previous calendar years. So there's, you know, there's that significant time lag that already exists. And that doesn't speak to the issue what you're talking about, which is whether or not CPIU is the right number to use.
I'm trying to remember, is inflation proofing built into the Constitution at this point or
no.
Simply statute?
Right.
Okay, so I guess the first question is, should we include inflation proofing in relation to this? Should we include inflation proofing in the Constitution? And secondly, how do you do it? I mean, how do you calculate it? And this, by computing it based upon the Consumer Price Index,
That is strict. My understanding, that's exactly the way the law is written.
Right, that's the current statute.
That's correct.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Senator Ellis. Further questions? No further questions. Thank you very much. Mr. Bush Reed, did you want to testify?
Hello, Mr. Chairman.
Nice to have you here, Peter.
John and I are going to another meeting.
I see. Okay. Are there other witnesses who wish to testify on SJR 18? Any other witnesses? Mr. Turbeck, I don't have any other witnesses here. We're prepared.
I have one more question.
Oh, go right ahead. Senator Parnell has a question.
I haven't had a chance to look at the existing statute in some time, and is the language that's in here, is that currently how the dividend is calculated? Is that what you're attempting to achieve here?
Through the chair, yes, Senator. I have a copy of the statute if you'd like to look at it.
Oh, that's okay. I'll take your word for it. I'm going to have my staff pull it for me, but I just want to make sure that we're not changing the dividend calculation or the inflation-proofing mechanism with this bill.
No, sir.
One additional question I had is that, and maybe it's better for Mr. Kelly to answer, is that in making a deposit from the undistributed income account into the corpus of the fund now is maintaining and has maintained in the past a too large of a deposit, not leaving enough in the undistributed income account, could adversely impact dividends in the future. What amount would you recommend that we leave in the undistributed income account, so as not to adversely impact dividends?
If we achieve the median expected return that we expect for next year, $625 million would be the amount that needs to stay in the fund so that the dividend formula is able to pay out fully, if that's the desire.
And that's your median estimate for next year?
Yes.
on each of the deposits that we've made in previous years, why wasn't there a reduction in the fund from those? Did you always hit above your median estimate?
We did. We have in the last couple of years. The last two or three years have been the best years we've ever had. And next year might be as well.
You recommended, I believe, that we change the manner in which you calculate the dividend or calculate the income of the fund. Is that correct?
The trustees set up an investment policy options committee, and they have looked at other ways they have looked at other distribution policies for the fund, because there is a connection between distribution policies and investment policies. And the board is quite clear that the decisions about the distribution policy are yours, but as they impact on the investment policy, they feel an obligation to just let you know what those impacts are. And so, yes, they have recommended, they've come forward with no specific recommendation, but we're looking at it. And I suspect that at some point in time they may very well do that.
Well, don't you think it would be appropriate, if you wish to make that change, that it should be drafted as an amendment to go on this bill, rather than place in our Constitution a mechanism for making that calculation that, in fact, is not supported by the board?
Well, that's an interesting observation. I don't know that the board is ready to do that at this point, but I can certainly find out.
Okay, because I find it somewhat ludicrous that upon suggesting that we actually deposit the people's money back into the account, that a campaign is now being waged by the board or someone at the behest of the board to indicate that by doing so we're going to reduce premiums.
Oh, no. Well, I'm sorry.
Reduce dividends.
I'm sorry, Senator. That there is no campaign. Whenever there's a proposal for a use of the, a change in the way the permanent fund works, we always do a financial projection. This bill is no different. What you're talking about is no different than any other. I certainly believe, I have distributed that piece of paper to several people in the legislature because it certainly is important for people to understand that that's a very possible consequence. That's all that, we're trying to do, is communicate what the potential impacts are if we get the kind of rate of return that we expect to get next year. Whether or not that's a path that you all want to go down, that certainly is your choice. And we're not going to continue to get the kind of returns we've had over the last two or three years. It's just not going to happen. One of these years we're going to get a lower return. And because we've had such good returns over the last two or three years, the problem has become magnified each year. And the future liability that the dividend formula is accruing is going to require either that we continue to make that kind of money in the future to pay, good rates of return in the future to be able to make that full payment, or that there be reserves in the earnings reserve account. Otherwise, the statute which the legislature put into place is going to require the dividend to be reduced. It's the dividend formula that does it. It's math.
Well, then shouldn't we be amending that formula so that those undistributed income accounts can just pour over into the fund, unless the people choose to vote to spend it on some other?
The formula specifically says that, the income available for distribution is the 5 years, it's the income of 5 years times 21%, but may not exceed the amount of money that's earned in a given year plus what's in the earnings reserve account. And I think what the legislators were thinking when that was originally created back in the early 80s was that you didn't want to have the fund placed in a situation where they had to pay out more in a given year than they took in, because you'd be breaking into principal if you did that. There is a piece of the statute. If you wanted to change that piece of the statute, it's there.
Is the board going to be meeting within the next 2-3 weeks?
April 22nd.
Well, I wish you would bring that up to them, because if in fact this legislation still has to go to finance, and if in fact there is a concern about that, then we ought to be addressing it at this point, as opposed to trying addressing it in statute law at some later time, or does decide they want to go to a different formula.
Very good.
I appreciate that.
Sure.
Any further questions? Senator Ramos.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Was the sponsor here to speak to the resolution?
No.
Staff. Was Senator Green was, just wasn't available today to come to the committee meeting? No. Chairman, could I ask what's the relationship between the language in Section 1 and what would show up on the ballot if this were to go before the voters? Is Section 1 intended to determine what the language will be, the wording, or the title of the ballot initiative, or what's the purpose of that language?
Can you answer the question?
No, sir, I can't. I'm not sure this would be the language. I can't tell you if that was the...
I just didn't know, Mr. Chairman, if it's routine that Section 1 in constitutional amendments, language like this, is intended to be part of the ballot heading, or...
I don't know either.
Not familiar enough to know how that works.
I think every time we've seen one of these things, it did have a Section 1 that was kind of introductory that explained what it was all about. I don't think it binds the... I can't tell you whether it does or not. I don't know whether it binds the Lieutenant Governor in the manner she would describe it.
Somebody from Division of Elections could probably answer that.
Yeah. Thank you. Did we get Turbeck's piece of paper yet?
I'm here.
Yeah, I was just asking. We hadn't, your fax hadn't arrived yet, and I wanted to have a chance to see that.
Okay, well, quickly, it's this. I spent 2 days when they had that big meeting on the permanent fund at the 4th Avenue Theater. Of 53 people, 49 were rich. Pardon the expression, I can't say it. It's anyway, well, over the air. But only a couple were from the poor. And I found out that one quarter, 25% of the native population has no other income except from the permanent fund dividend that was brought out at that meeting. Now, everybody else wanted to raid the fund. My purpose was this. Don't touch the permanent fund. If you want to build roads and stuff, bring the income tax back, because the poor people gained nothing when the income tax disappeared. Only the rich gained. And the other thing is, if the permanent fund was, a dividend was at $2,400 a year, for instance, and not one warrant, but 12 monthly warrants went out, people who don't have money would have something to look forward to month after month after month. That's it.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Turbeck. There is nothing before the legislature in either house that would involve an invasion of the permanent fund that I'm aware of.
But that meeting was loaded with people not only from here but from outside, and they said, and the ones from here said, oh, we don't even apply. They don't need the money. There are so very many, including myself, that needs the bucks.
Yeah, well, Mr. Turbeck, none of those people that were at that meeting are sitting here ready to vote on anything.
Oh, no, I know, but what surprised me was there were no poor or needy people in the audience, and I spent 2 days listening to what I hated to hear. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you very much. Pleasure of the committee. Senator Miller?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move to send a joint resolution number 18 out of committee with individual recommendations.
Senator Miller has moved the bill with individual recommendations, or the resolution, I should say. Is there objection? There being no objection, it moves from committee. Or other lie detecting testing for certain correctional officers. Senator Ward's office. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Craig Johnson, staff to Senator Ward. As you stated, SB 244 is an act which would allow correctional officers to be administered a polygraph test. It also would apply to people in, applying for employment as correctional officers. Presently, only police officers and certain transportation officials are subject to polygraph testing. Correction officers are in a great position of power, and many are armed just like any other law enforcement officer, and polygraph testing is no less in order for a correctional officer than it would be for any other law enforcement officer. Polygraph testing is a way to ensure the character and integrity of correctional officers, as well as the safety of the public. Inmates and other correctional employees would stand to benefit by this, and polygraph testing is a proven method of screening employees for positions which require high security and safety.
Any questions?
Both unions which are involved with correctional officers have endorsed this legislation.
Is there anyone else here who wishes to testify on 244? Was there anyone in the LIO? I see there's no people there to testify according to the notes that I have. Pleasure of the committee. Yes, Senator Parnell.
I move SB 244 from committee with individual recommendation.
Is there objection? Being noted, no objection, SB 244 moves from committee.
Huh? Yeah, I know he makes it.
Well,
kind of helps the chairman sometimes.
Get the bill.
That's all I had down for today.
I would note that Mr. Norsworthy has sent down a list of witnesses and questions to be asked. I'll be circulating those to the committee members, and I'd like to have, if nothing else, at least either a discussion or a workshop, if you would, on where we go from here on APSIM. It's interesting that this bill would have come up about the same time, but I think we need to decide where we're headed in that direction.
Mr. Chairman, what do you mean about the polygraph bill?
Yeah. It's fascinating that not one of these people in the entire investigation, including state troopers, was ever asked to take a polygraph. All they were asked was, do you remember doing this? And with copious evidence that they had done it, they said, no, I don't remember a thing about it. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was very noncommittal already. I mean,
I would like the committee to have an opportunity to review that list of witnesses before I call them, because it's going to involve an extensive amount of time and commitment on the part of the committee. Yes, Senator Pierce.
Are you planning to have that review this coming Wednesday?
No.
Okay.
We got too much on the plate right now.
I'd like to say that I won't be here Wednesday, but having read through the packet, and is that full packet now public?
Yes,
okay.
It was from the moment we accepted it.
Okay. Having read through the packet and reading through some of the notes taken by some of the people involved in their planning sessions for the investigations, I'm really troubled that we've got, that decisions were made ahead of time that put so many boundaries on what was going to be asked that folks went into the field and did not do a complete investigative job. And I find it interesting in any investigation for anybody doing anything that we would try to tell investigating officers who have been trained in investigation what they should and shouldn't ask. And that seems to me to be directing, not, you know, you get to the point where you're directing witnesses when you start directing the questions, but I found that very troubling.
Let's plan on talking about it. Hopefully, I'll circulate that with that list of witnesses and possible questions, and then we should talk about it maybe on Wednesday as to where we go from here and how many you want to call. I know there's an awful lot of other things on the agendas out here, but I would like to get this thing resolved and done with.
Is the list available now, or is it yet to be completed?
Ken sent the list down. I'll distribute it Saturday, but I just didn't think to bring it with me right now. If there's nothing further, we'll adjourn.